Bartimaeus is a person for us to reflect on because I think for all of us, we're in those shoes from time to time. When we want to do something, when we want to accomplish something, when we feel that it's important for us that something get done, and yet we get the crowd of people around us saying, no, 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 no. Don't bother him. Don't interfere. Don't get... And I think tonight, it's really good for our prayer to listen to that gospel. Here's a man who's a beggar and blind, living in Jericho. Our Lord is on his way now to Jerusalem, meaning he's on his way to his death. And Bartimaeus stands there in this great plea, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And the crowds are saying, stop it, get away, don't bother. And he continues that plea. So I think it's about persistence, my brothers and sisters, I really do. I think if you and I really believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even though we may not get that first ask, even though it may not happen immediately to us, if we persevere, if we have faith and belief, even if we're filled with fear and at times fraught with not knowing what to do, I do believe that if we have that confidence in our God and we continue to persist in that, great things happen in our lives. This is what one of our former presidents said. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Genius will not. Education even will not. Persistence and determination alone are the key. The slogan, "Press on," has solved and always will solve the problems of the human heart. And so I offer that to you today. I'll talk a little bit about it at the end of Mass, but I just think that it's a key to our spiritual journey. Not to give up, not to be afraid to continue to ask and seek the needs that we have in our lives and have a confidence that our God will hear us. Because what happened to Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus was healed. And as a result of that, he became the disciple. He followed Christ. He followed him to Jerusalem. My brothers and sisters, I just got back from that great land. 11 days, 46 people. It was an extraordinary journey of faith once again. It's not new to me, but looking through the eyes of the people that are there for the first time or the second time, it's an extraordinary opportunity to see and to smell and to taste and to feel that great land of Christ. Anyone that has any serious desire to engage in the relationship with Jesus Christ, don't wait too long to go to that place. I know this is holy ground, and I know that where you stand is a holy place, but there is something extraordinary that is there for your asking. And so it's our last day. And you know, with 46 people on a bus, people get colds and we're tired, and I'm pushing pretty good. I've got them moving real good during this whole journey. And so we're at the very end, and we said, the morning's off. We'll get on the bus in the afternoon. We'll go to Caesarea. We'll go to Jaffa and then to the airport. 1 o'clock flight in the morning. And so I had a friend that worked at Notre Dame, the place that we stay every year for our journey. And I went to visit Issam. Issam's a Palestinian. And it's a difficult, difficult journey for many of those folks. And Issam has got now a shop. But his shop is not kind of stuck out someplace. It's dead center in the old city. It's literally across from the Holy Sepulchre. The Holy Sepulchre is the place that every Christian in the world desires someday to come to because it's the place of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a great location. I mean, you would think, you know? And so here's this guy's shop. I went in, I talked to Issam, and John Putnam is a good friend of mine, and I went in for this together, and we chatted away. But Issam is doing nothing. He's broke. He's struggling. So we had a cup of coffee, and we talked to each other, gave him a few bucks, and then I left. And I said to John, what's the problem? Why is it? He said, look around. There's 60 other stores just like Issam's store, all lined up, one right after the other. They all have statues. They all have rosaries. They've all got medals. They've all got little icons of the Holy Land. There's nothing that would draw you into that place. And so people just keep going by, I guess. I felt bad for him. I almost called him and wanted to give him a little business plan, but what do I know about business? I'll send some of you out to do that for him. Then we get on the bus and went to Caesarea. Caesarea is the place, right in the Mediterranean, gorgeous spot, one of the most beautiful places in all of Israel, where Paul was sent for his trial because the proconsul was there. And just before his conviction, Paul said, "I am a Roman." And so the proconsul said, "You are a Roman, and to Rome you will go." And so it's at that place that he enters this ship as a prisoner, goes across the Mediterranean to Rome, and it is there in that city that Paul goes to trial, is condemned, and dies. So it's an extraordinary place to go and to see and to be a part of it. And it's along the coast, and they have these beautiful Colosseums, and oh my God, it's gorgeous. So off we go to Jaffa. Now we get to that great place. It's just outside of Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv, of course, is the great metropolitan area of Israel. And we said Mass at St. Peter's Church. Now stay with me, because this will make sense as we move along. And at St. Peter's Church, the remembrance in Acts of the Apostles is Peter, who had a dinner with some Jewish friends, had a nice big lunch, the main meal. And he's tired. It's just at the very beginning of the church, right at the very start after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Peter goes up and takes a nap. He's tired. He had a big dinner, probably a little wine, you know, he's a little tired. So up he goes to the top of this house. And he has a dream. And the dream is there's a sheet, a big sheet that's rolled down, and all the different animals are on this sheet. The pure, the clean, the unpure, and the unclean. And according to Jewish dietetic restrictions, some are clean, some are not clean. There are restrictions. He hears this word. This is now the head of the church. He hears this word. Peter, it's all clean. It's all pure. He doesn't make sense out of it. So he goes down into the house after waking up, and two visitors from Caesarea, the very place where we had just come from, two Gentiles, come to Peter. And they ask to become a part of this new way. They want baptism. Now Peter thinks for a second. This is unheard of. This is not within the realm of the possible. It was for the Jew. Christ came for the Jew. And that was the thinking. Two Gentiles come, and he remembers those words of his dream. All is pure. All is clean. And so in some sacred grace from God, Peter makes the decision. Head of the church now. Not like me making the decision. The big guy's making the decision. And he says, enter our church. Become one with us. And so we're here today, folks. You and I are here today because of Jaffa. You and I are here today because of Peter's decision in the very beginning of the church that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is for all people, for all time. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the condition, now whether that person is married or divorced, whether it's a gay or a straight, whether it's a wealthy or a poor, whether it's a black or whatever the condition, whatever the circumstance of a person's life, you enter that wall, that church, that door, and you're welcomed. That's honoring that first decision of that great Peter. Then and now. So, we finished that Mass. They were all beat up, by the way. They weren't paying much attention to me at all. But I was excited. And so we had an hour and a half before dinner, and we're going out to the airport. So I'm walking around. I took a couple of folks with me, and we're just seeing the city. Jaffa, by the way, is just like your great little Santa Monica, where you have all these little bits and pieces and stuff, where you go after mass to bars and little places, you know? That's Jaffa, just like that. Fabulous little place. All kinds of little boutique shops and things. So I'm walking by, and, you know, store after store, and all of a sudden, I saw this store inside, and it just took my attention. It had these kind of like arches, and the arches were made out of this dark brick, old ancient brick, like the brick of the city of Jerusalem. And it was clean and beautiful, and I saw this young man, young adult, and I said, well, did you just build this? Because it looked fresh and new. He said, no, it was a prison. It had been a prison in the ancient city of Jaffa, and they had taken it and restored it. And then I looked at the sign, and it said Galilee's. That was the store. And when I went inside, there were all kinds of wines and cheese and nuts and fruit and spreads and little, you know, what do you call these things when you put on foods and stuff? Seasonings and all from Galilee. So they've taken this rich land of the north and all of the things that are produced in that land, and they brought them to these stores. And then I found out, first his name was Emmett, young man, just young Jewish man. His father owned not one of these, he owned nine of them. So he was flying. I mean, the thing was they were doing great things. So I said, Emmett, this is fantastic. I was attracted by it, and I was tasting some of the cider that they were giving, and they were giving some other folks some wine, and they were tasting bits and pieces and stuff, and it was just wonderful. So I thought to myself, I remembered a psalm, you know, that morning, and then I thought about this, and I said, here I am, you know. I said, young man, Emmett, I was dressed up in a sports shirt. I said, Emmett, you know why you're so successful? Here, I'm telling this guy, you know. He says to me, why? He said, because you know, you've got something that attracts people, something that kind of gets their attention, and then you're doing something a little different. And it's wonderful, and it's exciting. He looked at me, Emmett did, if you'd hold that for a second, Tom. And he said, you're wrong. That's not the reason why we're a success. I said, well, what is it? He says, come here. He gives me this bag. This bag is made out of Jewish newspaper. Do you see it? That's all it is. And then they've got it. I ripped it around because I've been using it all day, but there it is. It's all kind of fancy. He said, this is the reason why we're so successful. Bag. I said, well, what's the bag for? He said, well, I put the bottle of wine in when you buy, you know, buy some wine or you buy a jar of something. I stick it inside here. And we give this to each person that comes into our store. But the story behind it is that this bag is made by a group of young people, 13 to 20 years of age, that live right near Nazareth, Galilee. And there's a little community of special need kids. And they make these bags. It gives them a way of life. It gives them an opportunity to live. It gives them some sustenance. It helps them in a way that they would never, never, ever feel a part of anything. And so what makes this place successful, he said, is the bag. Because we remind everyone that comes into this store about the great fruit and vegetables and land and beauty of Galilee. But we also remind people that there are so many who have so far less. People who need our care and our love and our support. Well, I got so excited, I just said, whoa! So I went right out of the store. I gathered all of our pilgrims from Santa Monica and I brought them all into the store. And by the time we left, the store was on fire. They were buying all kinds of things. Now, how they got their wines and cheeses and spreads through customs, I have no idea, but we spent some money in that store. It was wonderful. got excited about it. My sisters and brothers, this is Stewardship Sunday. And as your pastor, I get the opportunity to share with you who we are and what we are, whose we are. It's a great gift, and I've done it for 25 years. And I'm more excited tonight than I was when I began 25 years ago. Because I love that image. We have been on a campaign for the last 7 years. And we're building something that will be an extraordinary beacon in this city of Santa Monica. People are going to notice it. When they come by this place, it's not a shabby old dumpy looking church. It won't be. They're going to say, whoa, there's parking. We've got a little coffee bar. We've got a place to assemble. We're giving kids some lawn. We've worked on a gym that makes the kids feel good and proud. We've got a place for meetings. It's attractive. That's what brought me to that shop. Now, when I got inside, that wasn't what was going on. It wasn't the beauty. It wasn't the shop. It was much more. But that's what got me in. And so I'm grateful for the 30% of you who have gone shoulder to shoulder with me in blood, sweat, and tears. It almost killed me to raise that money to make this a place where people will at least notice. I'm grateful for that. But what matters, what really matters, is what's going on inside. My brothers and sisters, it's about the bag. It's about the fact that every person that walks into this church is welcomed here. If you feel unwelcome in this community of faith, I don't know what else I can say to you. But what we want to do and hope to do and believe we can do is that whatever the need is of this community, whatever the need of this particular person is, we're not a church at 5,000 feet writing documents and saying all kinds of nice things. We're on the ground. I got a call the day I got back, Thursday morning. A beautiful family in this parish had their kids in our school. They're out of our school, now in public school, and they're in religious education. The father died. 3 children, 7 years of age, younger and younger. Sudden death. The whole community goes into that home in this tragic moment and embraces that family. That's what we do. That's this bag. When we stand here before you and say in a few weeks, we have got to support the people of our city who need some help at Christmas time, we will do that. We've got people in Africa. We've got people in downtown Los Angeles. That's what we do. When people come that are separated and distanced and divorced, when people need a roadmap. All of us need a roadmap. You're here tonight, not because you just want to be here, I think. I think you're here because you're looking for something. You want to engage. But we need to help that engagement. Last year, we had a really bad year financially, $130,000 in debt. We can't do that and do what we want to do as a community of faith. That's the bottom line. I know it's important that we see that this is a value. This is for keeps. This isn't just another cup of coffee someplace. This is about the very substance of our lives. And so, my brothers and sisters, I hope you'll do what I did. We learned a lesson. We learned the value. We learned what we're about. And I went right out of that store and I gathered a bunch of people and I said, come on in. Take a look. Something going on here that's safe and good and right. So that's what I'm asking, my brothers and sisters. Mike Mottola is our parish administrator. He's going to finish you off. But I just want to say first that, yes, I'm grateful. But 6% giving 60% of the income of this parish is not what you would consider a place of engagement. It's an engagement for the few. And we need to engage. It's a holy work. It's a profound gift and grace that we have received. We honor. We want to bring to other folks. And it's one by one by one. So thank you. Thank you so much.